Ready?
Yeah.
Okay, we're recording, and looks like we've got a quorum. Clerk or Mr. Sparby will take the roll.
Chairman Cornish?
Here.
Vice Chairman Woodard?
Here.
Representative Mullery? Representative Doubt? Representative Gauthier? Representative Grunhagen?
Here.
Representative Hilty? Representative Johnson? Representative Kelly?
Here.
Representative Kiefer?
Here.
Representative Kreisel?
Here.
Representative Leidiger? Representative Mariani? Representative McDonald? Representative Moran?
Here.
Representative Nornes?
Here.
Representative Slocum?
Present.
Representative Smith?
Here.
Okay, thank you. And if we could get somebody to approve, Representative Woodard, would you approve the or move the minutes for February 1st?
I do so move, Mr. Chair.
Okay, Ms. Representative Woodard moves the minutes for approval February 1st. Any discussion, additions, corrections? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Minutes carried. Okay, I should have stated for the record that this is a meeting of the Public Safety and Crime Prevention Policy and Finance Committees. Today we have a couple non-controversial bills held to the consent calendar. And first of all, we'll do a presentation of the bonding recommendations and distribute those. Are they in the packet? Members, if you want to look in your packet, you'll find a committee memorandum for the bonding. And the bonding recommendations and recommend versus no recommend. And these are based on the members' votes that we tabulated. I'll give you a minute to look them over there. Any discussion from any of the members about, Representative Kiefer, did you have them?
Let me see.
They're up.
Behind the bills in there? Okay, any discussion about the bonding recommendations?
Yes.
Okay, if there's no more discussion about that, we'll either make a motion to approve this list and move it on to the bonding committee for their recommendations and final say. All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Okay. Now we move to our bill. Who's up first? Representative Benson, are you ready for 1816? Hey, welcome, Representative Benson. The chair will move House File 1816 be recommended to pass and go to the General Register. And Representative Benson, would you like to make any opening statements or get right into the testimony or however you wish to proceed?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I will present a summary of the bill, and I also have a couple of licensed manufacturer dealers, and they will provide some additional testimony. There will be, it's being currently passed around, a letter of support from a sergeant in the training division at the Olmsted County Sheriff's Department regarding the bill. The bill, Mr. Chairman, is a bill that will allow for federally licensed dealers, importers, and manufacturers in the state of Minnesota to possess for the purpose of selling to law enforcement and DNR in the state. Suppressors or silencers for the use in their work. Currently, they can sell, however, they can't possess a demonstration model go into a little bit more in terms of detail on how there is really no legal workaround currently for that. I'll let the dealer manufacturers speak to that piece. But this, in essence, would allow them to be able to sell. Currently law enforcement closer to the borders would have the ability to, go across state line, and I'm not going to add any words to law enforcement, but illegally have someone cross one of our state lines with a silencer or a suppressor in their possession and demonstrate and show. But currently our federally licensed dealers and manufacturers and importers are not allowed to possess so that they can sell to our law enforcement. There are a lot of good reasons why both the DNR and the law enforcement, I'll let the experts here kind of add to that, why they want the ability to possess these. They purchase a number of these and so on. So I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to introduce the gentlemen that are here with me today. Ken Fagerlund and Chris Stafford are both constituents, but they also happen to be federally licensed dealers and manufacturers.
Sir, you go ahead and state your name for the record and then begin.
My name is Chris Stafford, and I am a licensed manufacturer here in the state of Minnesota. The problem I have in servicing departments is the simple fact that I cannot bring in equipment to demonstrate to them. The equipment's obviously important to them for safety features because of a hearing conflict. When you fire a firearm repeatedly, obviously we know that it hurts your hearing. And when they do entry team work and stack up at doors and have to enter buildings, when you're firing guns in close proximity, it's hard on your ears. It causes work comp losses and injuries to the officers. For us as manufacturers to sell a product in the state of Minnesota, we have to be really good salespeople because they simply have to take our word on that product. We can't bring it in to demonstrate it to us or to them. So for me to have a federal license that says I can legally manufacture them, I have a federal license that says I can legally sell them to law enforcement, but I can't bring them into the state. So it handicaps me in my trade to work with law enforcement agencies. So up to this point, my sales have been on a strong relationship with the department I've dealt with. And taking my word that the product is going to deliver, whereas if I could bring in other dealer samples, show them different types of products available out there, give them an informed choice on what they can buy, I feel it's a better to the department.
Okay, thank you, sir. Any questions so far? Representative Gothard, do you want to ask now?
No, I'll wait, sir.
Okay, the other testifier, do you like to say something?
My name is Ken Fagerlund. I'm a manufacturer from the Rochester area, and that's basically, our problem is we can't get the silencers in, and people from other states are bringing them in. Whether or not they can is up to question, but that's our main problem is that we can't get them to sell to our department.
Okay, Representative Benson, would it be a fair statement to say on this bill that this bill doesn't allow private ownership? This is talking about what these folks are talking about, and distribution to the general public would not be addressed under this bill.
Incorrect. In fact, thank you, Mr. Chairman. In the bill, it specifically says that it's not for allowing for the general public to be able to purchase or possess silencers or suppressors. So it's designed to only go one area, and it's to law enforcement and the DNR. The gentleman didn't cover that in terms of DNR. We had a chronic wasting disease problem that was addressed in Pine Island just last year. One of the things that the DNR did was to hire folks that would come in the evening and take these diseased deer or the samples that they needed in order to decide whether or not there was more diseased deer out there. So they hired people, but they had to actually give them the material, that weapons, to be able to do those thinning practices that need to get done.
And then and Representative Benson and I and others had a discussion before the committee that there is some language we want to look at within the bill. We want to make sure we're not taking any existing rights away from anybody to use certain equipment, and so we're going to look at some language after it leaves the committee, but it's too short a time today to make an amendment. And Representative Gauthier.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Benson, my question is, have you talked to the Chief of Police Association or the Sheriff's Association, and what's their position on this issue?
Thank you, Representative Gauthier. I think I'll let the chairman speak to that. He has spoken to both.
We have had a conversation or email or a phone or something, and we don't pretend at this to get support from any of those, but neither do we get opposition. I've talked with Sheriff Franklin of the association, and I think my CA has talked to Dave Picchia from the Chiefs, and then the director of the MPPOA, and none of them are officially opposing it or supporting it at this point. But I think Representative Benson has a letter from his sheriff supporting it.
Mr. Chair, to the testifier, one of the concerns I've been getting in my emails is what is to prevent you from selling silencers to private parties. So could you just clear that up for us?
Yes, sir. You state your name again and go ahead.
My name is Chris Stafford. What prevents us from doing that is a suppressor is regulated every bit as much as any submachine gun or machine gun purchased out there. So that when I order up a suppressor from a manufacturer, that order gets put on a form that goes to the ATF. The ATF then has to check and make sure that I'm okay to have it in my state, that I'm still federally licensed and still have my SOT or special operational tax in place. They check out my background. If it's okayed, they send that form back to the manufacturer. The manufacturer packs that approved form in with the suppressor and delivers. They deliver it to me by signature. So each item goes through a process that can take anywhere from, well, depending on the DC situation, anywhere from 2 to 6 months for that process to be complete. So each and every item that is ordered. So if I order a half a dozen suppressors to demonstrate of different flavors, each one of those suppressors gets a paper, and that paper goes to DC. They register all the numbers on those suppressors, process the paperwork, stamp approval to my business name and my federal ID number, my federal firearms license number, before they can ship them to me. At the time that I sell them to a department, they have to go on to another form, and would get transferred on a form to a department, usually on a form 5. There's no way, if I were to sell one to a individual in the state of Minnesota, if I were to try to process that paperwork through ATF, they would deny the transfer. If I did it without going through the ATF, I would serve, if caught, serve up to 10 years in prison with a $10,000 fine, lose my rights of sales, and lose some other rights that I enjoy in the state. Thank you, sir.
All right. Well, thank you, Representative Gauthier, and Representative Mullery.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and whoever wants to answer it. I guess I'm missing something. You say that you manufacture this device, and then you say you can't bring the device into the state. If you manufacture it, why do you have to bring it into the state?
We can't manufacture them in Minnesota now.
I thought you said you did manufacture them.
No.
If you guys could,
we could manufacture them.
You guys need to go through the chair and say, Mr. Chair, and then state your name.
No, my name is Ken Fagerland.
Okay.
We are federally licensed to manufacture silencers, but we can't in Minnesota because of the law, the way the law is written right now.
Representative Mullery.
Okay. Well, Mr. Chair, from the testimony, that doesn't sound like what they were saying. They were saying they needed to bring it in, and they couldn't bring it in. I think what they're apparently... Do you want to change your testimony that you can't manufacture it here rather than bring it in? Or is there something, either what you're saying doesn't jive with what you're saying now or what you said before?
I'm not fussy which one wants to answer. Go ahead.
Chris Stafford. As manufacturers, yes, we can manufacture them. We can also purchase them from other manufacturers or bring them in for demonstration purposes. We are federally licensed to manufacture them, but as residents of the state of Minnesota, we can't manufacture them. So it's a licensing matter or an acceptance matter by law or statute in our state of Minnesota. I am legal to manufacture them under federal regulation. I have a federal firearms license that allows me to do that. We can manufacture other items as well, but the suppressors are the ones we can't bring in or do here in Minnesota. Thank you.
Okay. Representative Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Is this change being requested at all by law enforcement or DNR management, or is this something, I guess, to you, Representative Benson, that you're pursuing on your own? What's the origin of that?
And the origin, thank you, Mr. Chairman, the origin is actually coming from the manufacturers, dealers, and importers in a request to make sure that they have a level playing field to be able to sell, legally sell, to the entities that are described in the bill as being able to purchase them, the law enforcement and the DNR. We did seek that's why we got, we're actually going to have a testimony from the person today. They couldn't make the trip. That's why we got the letter. So we are seeking, and we have sought approval from law enforcement to make sure that this is something that they would support.
Representative Johnson.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. So we don't have support from law enforcement at this time on this initiative?
As far as I know, except the sheriff you have in your letter.
Just the sheriff. I'm sorry, Mr. Chairman. Yeah, just the sheriff that I have in my letter right now. But no letter of approval from either of the agencies. I think the chairman spoke to that.
And, Mr. Chair, just so I understand, where law enforcement and DNR management currently get their suppressors or silencers is from where? Outstate? Is that what you're saying?
Anybody know there?
Chris Stafford. We can't presume how they're getting them, because it's illegal for any dealer to bring them into the state of Minnesota and present them to our agencies. So that's what I can't presume on behalf of law enforcement how they're getting them. I guess if there's anyone here from law enforcement like to testify to that fact, that would be good, but I don't know how they are. As a dealer in the state, I can't bring them in, so they're getting them from somewhere. So, again, I feel if they are getting them somewhere, it's an unlevel playing field when it comes to commerce.
I think Mr. Cleary had some clarification on that.
Yes, Mr. Chairman and members, if I could clarify, what is prohibited by Minnesota law is the possession of silencers. And so by providing an exception to the prohibition to possess them, they could then operate under federal law, and federal law allows either the importation or bringing them into the state or the manufacturer in the state. So the bill would allow them to do either activity and presumably some of each. Is that clear? So it's the possession that's the focus of this bill, removing that restriction on possession.
Mr. Chairman?
There is no restriction on, to my knowledge, no restriction on bringing them into the state or manufacturing them. But, of course, you'd have to possess them to do either of those. So.
Representative Mulry, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. First of all, I'd like to know what we're talking about in numbers. I mean, what kind of numbers are we talking about, first of all? I guess I don't think, it seems to me like we're missing a lot of information. I think that bill maybe should be laid over till we get a little more information on how many from law enforcement, how are they getting them now? I think Representative Johnson was getting at that. What's going on? Does law enforcement really need this? I have a question whether or not, and I'm not a prosecutor. Do the county attorneys think this will make any problems with anything, prosecuting people for anything? It seems like we got a lot of information we don't have that we should have before we go on.
Representative Benson.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, thank you. Well, I think in testimony that was provided already from the two testifiers, that the way that they get them now is they have to take their word for it. So they have a catalog. They'll show, you know what the devices are that's needed, the kind of weapon that's going to be used, and so on. And they make a determination on that. That's to say that they don't have someone there that can possess or has possessed one of those to show them, to demo that. What we're trying not to do is we're trying to walk a line to say it's probably being done, but it wouldn't be legal if they did. So I'm assuming, yes, there is a need for them. Yes, they're being purchased. There's not. I've not done an economic study to find out how many particular silencers. I'm going to let one of my testifiers testify to the fact that they've been selling regularly to Olmsted County to have these. So they are a device that's needed. Many departments have them. The DNR uses them. No, I don't have an economic study to show that we sold 1,000 of them or 5,000 of this last year, but we're just looking to level the playing field for people who sell them or manufacture them in the state of Minnesota, so it's not illegal. They already have federal law behind them to allow them to do it. They jump through every hurdle that you can imagine in terms of fingerprints and pictures and all that kind of thing. What we're just trying to, or attempting to do here, is to get some clarification on our own law, to match it up with federal law, to give them the right to be able to present these to law enforcement and DNR to sell them in the use that they need them for.
Representative Mulroy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Benson, it sounds to me like the testimony is basically that our law enforcement agencies here in Minnesota are just totally part of breaking the law on this, and it's hard for me to believe that is happening a lot. It just doesn't sound to me like that's really happening. I don't believe that, you know, maybe one little agency might be, but we're getting kind of testimony that they all are. And
are you?
Doesn't seem possible.
Mr. Chairman, I don't think we're trying to insinuate that at all. I think what we're trying to define is there is no real way for a person to possess one of these instruments that goes on the end of a gun and to demonstrate it for that law enforcement before they make the purchase. So I don't know how they're getting. We're not trying to presume that. But right now, if someone was bringing them in, it would be illegally. So the only thing they have is a catalog in front of them from whoever's manufacturing them. And then they're making the sell on probably, I know Chris Stafford, he's a really great dealer. He knows his stuff. We're going to purchase these silencers from him. And that's how the sale's being made, rather than here it is, test it on your range, you got to give it back to me, you know, so that I have it in my possession until you make an order and we get them for you. Pretty simple bill in that it's just allowing these folks to make a difference in their own business to be able to sell directly to, with an example, to law enforcement or DNR.
To take some of the scariness out of this, the 38 states allow private possession. All we're talking about is allowing these people to possess them for testing, and there's a lot of accountability here. And you asked about law enforcement, and nobody here was pretending to have active formal support from law enforcement, but over the interim, twice in the past couple of years, I've had a group of law enforcement officers that got a hold of me and said, we've got to pass this bill. And there are a number of law enforcement magazines that you see these suppressors used for training in other states all the time because of the hearing. And if they wear ear protection, then they can't hear the verbal commands. And so it's really handy for law enforcement. But nobody here has said that we have any formal support. I just wanted to make that clear. Representative Moran, and then are you done, Representative Mullery?
Yes.
Okay, Representative Moran, and then Representative Hilton.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So let me get some clarity here of what I'm hearing. I think I heard Mr. Cleary say that it is against the law for anyone to possess a silencer in the state of Minnesota. And I think, Representative Benson, what I heard you say is that you guys are selling silencers in Olmsted County, which is illegal to do. Did I not hear you say that?
Go ahead.
Chris Stafford. I'll clarify that for you in a manner. I cannot possess them. So what happens in the sale is I describe the product to them. I give them an idea what this product looks like through brochures. I give them my background knowledge on firearms and how they function and the decibel reduction of the given item that I'm presenting to them. At that point, when they make the purchase, I never possess them. What happens to them now is they have to go from the manufacturer, get okayed by the ATF in D.C., come back to the manufacturer and get shipped direct to the department. The problem with that is if you've ever bought anything out of a catalog and ever read a description of a catalog or the internet, it's not always what it presumes to be when you get it in your hand. And that in lies the difficulty. There are some manufacturers out there that have a product that you put on the end of the firearm that you have to index. and put on in a proper way, and it takes time to index that. If you don't index it properly on the end of the firearm, when you go into a confrontation, you'll shoot it off the end of that firearm, causing damage not only to the suppressor, but possibly injuring the officer because of the back feet up through the barrel, and you can blow up your gun. So I feel as a true safety issue for law enforcement to have the ability to actually examine the product to see if it fits their needs, and it makes the sound reduction and the flash reduction for when they enter a building, whether they're entering a building at night, so they have to have that flash reduction down so that the perp doesn't see them, or they're entering a building that may be a meth lab that's loaded with fumes, and they have a flash signature that sets that fume off and blows the building up. All we're trying to do at this point is to get a product in our hand, demonstrate that product to the departments so they can see to their satisfaction what they're purchasing with the tax dollar. Thank you.
Okay, Representative Brand.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I understand your explanation about why you would like to sell, but I think the problem is it's against the law for that to happen, for a person to possess a silencer. I think that's, the for me, the bottom line, that it's illegal to do that. And I don't see anyone here, a law enforcement officer, saying that there's a need, there's a problem with them, or there is a loss of hearing. I don't see anyone here in stating that there's a need for it. I understand that you would like to do it, but it is against the law to do it, but I don't see anyone here stating that there's a need for it.
Representative Benson, would it be accurate to say that we aren't saying that there's law enforcement clamoring and that's not the purpose of this bill? What the purpose of this bill was, for the directed purpose we've been talking about, whether law enforcement wants them or not. If they do, they can come up with a different bill, but this has anything to do with requesting them for law enforcement. We were asked a question if law enforcement, that's how we got started on it. I don't think you were purporting that law enforcement is beating your door down for suppressors, were you?
I thank you, Mr. Chairman. No, I was not. The only thing that we provided for testimony today is the letter that you all have now in your possession from the person who is the purchaser, or the person who makes the recommendations for purchases for the Olmsted County Sheriff's Department.
So, Mr. Chair, Representative Benson, I think you're asking us if we can change the law to make it legal to possess.
For personal, Representative Moran, did you mean for personal possession?
I'm just asking. Are you asking us to change the law to make it legal to possess silencers?
For anyone?
It's
not for anyone. It's very specific in the language that this is only going to be allowed by people who hold federal firearm licenses that have the correct credentials and authority to sell those at the federal level. Those are the only folks that are going to be able to possess these, for the sole purpose of being able to sell to law enforcement and the DNR. That's all we're trying to accomplish.
So, Mr. Chair and Representative Benson, bear with me so I can understand. So right now, currently, is it illegal? It's illegal. So what you're asking us is to make it legal to sell to someone, as is stated here, to make it legal to do that. Because...
Representative Benson?
That's correct.
Okay, Representative Hilty. Yeah, and then Johnson and Doubt.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to see if I'm understanding this correctly. I guess for either of the witnesses, if I do understand this correctly, the way things are structured currently, in terms of a typical transaction, you would actually be the vendor to the DNR or a police department. And presumably get the same benefits of, your markup and profiting from the sale in either case. And the question, as you've been representing it, the real need is to be able to possess the product for a demonstration. But if I understand what Mr. Cleary described correctly, this bill goes well beyond just providing you the ability to possess demonstration models. It would provide you the ability to manufacture and possess any number of these devices. Is that correct?
Mr. Stafford, go ahead.
Chris Stafford. Yes, that would be correct. What it allows us to do, we're already federally licensed and regulated to do that in Minnesota. The problem is the federal level says we're fine, and they condone our activity. As a matter of fact, we go through all the paperwork, the licensing, the mugshots, the fingerprints to get to that level. It's a state regulation to get us to the point where we can actually possess or do it. Could we possess any number of them? Yes, we could. But as a manufacturer, you do not, in today's society, stock yourself up to the point that you don't have it sold. If you talk to any firearms manufacturer, I happen to sell some firearms to Rock River Arms. When I put an order in for law enforcement, we wait 6 to 8 and sometimes 14 weeks to get them because nobody's pre-doing orders anymore because they don't want to have their capital in stock that may not sell. But it would strictly be for sales to law enforcement. And it's just allow us as manufacturers and federally licensed dealers to have that possession. Thank you.
Hey, Representative Hilke, do you have a follow-up?
I do, Mr. Chair. Thank you. So if the bill simply gave you the ability to possess silencers for demonstration purposes, would that meet your needs?
Mr. Chairman, Chris Stafford, I would say no because it would still be the manufacturing issue. We would have the option to become a manufacturer and do so. Earlier it was...
Keep your answer as short as possible. We're running out of time.
Thank you, sir.
Just answer the basic question and then... Yeah, go ahead. Representative Hill.
That's it, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to clarify that.
Representative Mullery.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Johnson and Dout and then Mullery. Sorry.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Briefly, how many federally licensed dealers, manufacturers, and so forth are there currently in Minnesota? How many are we talking about? I guess I'm trying to get at, you know, how big a door are we opening for people who a new category of that are going to be possessing silencers?
Anybody wants to answer?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I don't know. I don't have a count on the number. I mean, that would something that the state wouldn't have. We'd have to go through the federal government to know exactly how many federally licensed there are.
Mr. Chair, that seems like that's an important piece of information. I know the ATF is horribly underfunded, and they currently check on only like 1 in 10 of those that they're supposed to be checking on. So to get that information about how many folks we're talking about, I think would be useful.
Okay, thank you, Representative Johnson. Do you have the number?
No, Mr. Chairman, but I would like a clarification check on 1 of 10 of what?
Representative
you allude to only check on 1 of 10. Only check on 1 of 10 of what?
Well, I'm looking at a report from the ATF that says they inspect only 10% of the federal firearm licensees, an average rate of 1 inspection every 10 years. Because of the fact they're so horribly underfunded.
Quick answer, yeah.
Mr. Chairman. Thank you. That inspection isn't a manufacturer or a NFA weapon inspection. That inspection would include all licensed dealers in the state or in the United States. When they come in and do that inspection, what they're looking for at that point, sir, would be whether you've dotted your I's, crossed your T's, filled all of your forms right, and had all your stock and inventory in place. I was federally inspected November a year ago. And I'm proud to say that I had no knocks on my record. I had no violations or no mistakes. But that's not a manufacturer or regulation. What you're alluding to would be back to that manufacturer, that item that it's tracked every step of the way. So thank you, sir.
Okay, Representative, who is next? Representative Mullery.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Two issues. One is, what is the penalty if you do either give or sell to somebody else? And second, how do we regulate, if you can manufacture these, how do we know that you're not manufacturing more and getting rid of to somebody. I guess I don't understand how it seems like it's pretty open. How could we ever regulate that?
Why don't you let me take a whack at that? I used to be a federal firearm licensed dealer, and what they're talking about here is there's no limit right now on how many guns a federal firearms dealer can sell, or handguns. I used to sell them out of my house, and I wasn't under any limit, and neither will these people be. They'll have to keep records, but they would be subject to inspection just like mine were. I had a visit from the ATF agent the first year I got the license and then never saw him again. And so it depends on how many times you get inspected, but there's record-keeping requirements. But there, I would imagine there'd be no limits on what you sell or manufacture.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. There'd be no limitations, but back to the inspections and the record-keeping. Once you're a Class II manufacturer, they don't ask, can I come and visit you? They come to your door, they knock, and they say, I'm here for your inspection. It's unannounced. It can be any time of the working hours of the day or early evening. So in other words, you want to have your I's dotted, your T's crossed, and you want to be in order, because the ATF has the right to, under regulation, to do an untimed, unannounced search. Thank you.
Okay, Representative Mallory, follow up.
They still haven't, I'm sorry, Mr. Chairman, you still haven't answered the penalty.
I'm sorry, Mr. Chairman. The penalty would be $10,000 and 10 years in jail per count, and it's a felony, loss of your license, and it'd go downhill from there.
Okay, Representative Hilty.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think maybe this is a question for, well, whoever can answer it, maybe Mr. Cleary. If one wanted to purchase a silencer in a state in which it's legal for an individual to possess one, do you have to be a resident of that state in order to do that?
Anybody know?
I'm sorry, Mr. Chairman, I didn't hear the whole question again.
If the question was, if you wanted to purchase a silencer, for would you have to be a resident of the state to purchase one?
Yes, that's the question.
Mr. Cleary, do you have the answer?
Yes, sir. Mr. Chairman and Representative Hilty, the transportation, not only the manufacturing and the sale of silencers or all Class III weapons like machine guns and short-barreled shotguns and rifles, not only are they heavily federally regulated, but they are taxed as well, and so is the interstate transportation. It's my understanding that to transport a silencer interstate, for any reason, you have to have prior federal permission. So that implies to me that it's probably possible for a non-resident, possibly, to purchase one out of state. And that may be the way in which some of the police chiefs are purchasing them right now. But that certainly it's not something that can be easily done or without federal detection.
Well, Mr. Chair, if I may, I noticed, for instance, that on the list of states in which it's legal for civilian ownership, we have both North and South Dakota and Wisconsin. Seems to me that if anyone in Minnesota actually wanted to possess one illegally, and it was possible to just drive across the border and buy one, of course, you'd be taking a risk of, I mean, you'd be violating the law to transport it back to Minnesota. But, you know, if your intent is to violate the law, that's not the law that you'd be most concerned about violating. So I don't see that this is really anything that we can control in any case as far as illegal individual possession. You know, it seems to me that the real question here is that these guys and maybe some other people actually want to manufacture these devices in Minnesota. And I wish I'd been a little more straightforward about that in the beginning, because to represent it as needing demonstration models is kind of disingenuous. But frankly, I don't have any objection to their manufacturing them in Minnesota, because it's not going to either make the problem better or worse insofar as it exists.
And more questions? Okay, and anybody out there that wishes to testify more in support? We'll get to the opposition after all the support's done. Any more in support? Okay, is anybody who wishes to testify in opposition to the current bill? Go ahead, sir. Come on up to the front. Representative Benson, you can remain at the table if you wish, sir. Go ahead, sir.
My name is Matt Doster, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. The concern I am...
Could you spell your name? I'm sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's Matt Doster, Mr. Chairman.
You spell your name?
D-O-S-S-E-R.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Go ahead.
My concern with this bill is it creates a special exemption for law enforcement and manufacturers, but doesn't allow private citizens to own it, which are regulated or under the same rules as manufacturers and law enforcement. We're still required to have a police chief signature, provide fingerprints, provide passport photos, and $200 to the ATF. It's a heavily regulated item. I currently own a number of NFA short-barreled rifles. The process is no different. And my concern is that you're allowing some groups of people to own them and others not to. When I believe it was previously testified that they wanted to be more in line with federal gun laws, if that were the case, then they would allow access for private citizens to own them also. And my question, I guess, and my biggest concern is, what public safety issue does this address by not allowing private citizens to own them? And that would be that's my biggest concern with this bill.
It's a question that's kind of confusing. I mean, we weren't purporting public safety for anyone. What we're talking about is the manufacturer and possession. We didn't address the issue of public safety. And the other question about spreading the net out to include private. We've thought about that, but that's not addressed in any of these bills, and I don't think the intent is to address that in any of these bills. If your group had a bill like that and found a local legislator that would author it, we'd be glad to hear it. But today we're just dealing with the manufacturer.
No, thank you for your time, Mr. Chairman.
You bet. Ms. Martins, are you prepared? All right. Go ahead and state your name and your testimony.
My name is Heather Martens, and I'm Executive Director at Protect Minnesota, working to end gun violence. We oppose this bill. It raises quite a number of questions that we don't have answers for at this time. I think that's one of the reasons why the major law enforcement agencies and associations did not have a position on it. As of yesterday, the sheriffs did have a position of non-support in my conversation with Jim Franklin, but then he had more time to evaluate what his concern had been. And so I think there was a change in that yesterday. So I think it's important to note that there really has not been a lot of time to evaluate what the implications are going to be of this bill. Silencers, we represent several thousand Minnesotans who are very concerned about public safety, and we are aware that silencers have very specific criminal purposes, and we don't support making silencers more readily available. And one of the questions that we have is, what would be the effect if these, as often happens, if there's a break-in at a federally licensed dealer and some of these are stolen, as often happens with guns, those could then be on the street. And what would be the effect of effective law enforcement tools like the shot spotters in Minneapolis that track the location of a gunshot based on the sound? We're concerned about the effect there. There are, according to the ATF, as of last year, there were 1,600 federally licensed firearms dealers in Minnesota. That's quite a few for a very small number of ATF officers to oversee. So that's another concern, that the adhering with this law would be a difficult task to enforce. The We also have noted that in checking with various law enforcement agencies, again, as you've said, there's not demand on the part of law enforcement particularly for this, and our concern is the effect on the public of making these types of devices present in potentially 1,600 more places in Minnesota where they could potentially be stolen or lost or transferred in an unauthorized way. And that's our concern.
Ms. Martins, if you do, would you mind if I answered the concerns? We had this bill up for quite some time, introduced anyway, and we posted it within the legal time frame. And one thing that we get hit with about 23 times a year in the session is we didn't have enough time, but I don't know how we could give more time. We can't post them this year and do it next year. And to me, I think, and my members, most of the questions, the confusion was answered today, and we've had time to look at it and understand it. The number of licenses in Minnesota that we have, federal firearms license, some of us would consider that progress and wish we had more. The demands of law enforcement, this isn't anything to do with the demands of law enforcement. We never purported that law enforcement, always said if some people wanted it, we didn't pretend to have anybody's support. And I would say that if the sheriff you talked to had concerns about it one day and changed his mind, that's good news for the people that support it. As far as the stolen weapons, that happens every day. People run their SUV into the side of a building and take firearms. We can't control that, and the same sure could happen with, we can't say that it won't happen with silencers. And as far as the silencers being used for specific criminal purposes, they have 99% more genuine sports shooting and training purposes than they ever do criminal. In fact, I'm not aware in my law enforcement career of any bulletins going out that there's a large increase in crime or crime from these things, evidenced by 38 states feeling comfortable with them. So I do respect your testimony and your concerns, and I realize they are genuine, but they just confuse me because the data doesn't match up to support them. So.
Could I respond to that?
Yeah, you bet.
I think a bill that is introduced into this committee, the Public Safety Committee, should serve a public safety purpose. I believe that should be the objective. If it doesn't, then that does raise questions. The criminal purposes of these firearm devices are fairly clear. They are a way of evading detection when committing a crime, and I think that's something that we have grave concerns about, and I think that is not going to change.
Okay, thank you, and so noted. Any other testimony out there for or against? Yes, sir. You got one more bill after this? Two. Sir, if you could keep it fairly short, it would be appreciated. I don't want to cut you off too much, but we're getting into another bill's area.
My name is Tim Kester, K-O-E-S-T-E-R. I'm a law student and a resident of South Minneapolis. And my biggest concern with this bill is while it addresses the concern of gun dealers who are having problems selling to law enforcement, the end of this bill says that that silencers cannot be used except for where expressly permitted by law. So currently, collectors can own suppressors. The law does not say when they can use it, so if this bill were to be passed, it would actually limit the ability of private citizens to use the suppressors that they can currently own and use. The other problem I have with this is I think this bill just further adds to the pile of legislation, makes it harder to understand what's legal, what's not legal, and is redundant when since 1934 there's been a federal statute that has effectively governed the use of suppressors and other NFA weapons, other NFA weapons including grenades and machine guns in Minnesota, and suppressors in the majority of the country. It's done so effectively because the reality is, if you look at if you look at who is committing crimes with what weapons, NFA weapons are not used to commit crimes because they're so much harder to get, and because the penalties for committing a crime with an NFA weapon are so much more severe.
Why don't you tell the crowd what an NFA weapon is?
Sorry, an NFA weapon is any weapon that's governed by the National Firearms Act 1934. The types of weapons include weapons fitted with suppressors, machine guns, short-barreled rifles, short-barreled shotguns, things of that nature.
And, sir, thank you for your testimony, and we do note that that conflict, and that's what we started the meeting out about, we're going to take a look at that very thing that you're talking about after it leaves, but there wasn't enough time to work on it today, so we will be scrutinizing that. So thank you.
Thank you.
Any other, all right, any other discussion from members? If not, the chair will renew his motion for House File 1816 to be passed and sent to the General Register. Discussion, hearing none. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed?
No.
All right, carried. Thank you, Representative Benson. Representative Scott. Welcome both to the table. Now, you've heard that this bill is similar to Representative Benson's in some ways, so if you don't want to cover everything we've already talked about and just tell the peculiarities that your bill does address that his doesn't, that'll shorten it up quite a bit. Representative Scott, you can proceed however you wish.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chair and members.
Oh, I should move your bill. I'm sorry.
Yes, please do. 1984.
Number. The chair would move House File 1984 for consideration to pass and sent to the General Register. Representative Scott.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. This bill is similar to the last one in that it's allowing federally licensed firearm manufacturers to possess silencers. This one is very specific for the purpose of testing firearms, and there are three conditions under which that can be done. First of all, the firearms manufacturer would have to possess a Type 7 firearms license, and you should have a handout telling you what a Type 7 is. Number two, they must possess proof of registration of the silencer in the National Firearms Registration. I think we talked a little bit about that with the previous bill. And thirdly, they must have written notification, that they provided written notification to the sheriff of the county or counties in which the firm is located. And there should be a copy from Sheriff Hutton in this case, who is the sheriff of the county where this firearms manufacturer is located. And with that, Mr. Chair, I would ask for testimony of Mr. Koenig, who is the general manager, did I get that right? Yeah, of JP Enterprises.
Welcome, sir. If you would restate your name and go ahead with your testimony.
My name is Mel Koenig. You need to misspell that. This is kind of new territory for me. But it's K-O-E-N-I-G.
Thank you, sir.
All right. We have a small company. We've actually grown it over the last 20 years. I'm the general manager. We're small, privately held. We have, currently we have 17 employees. Our business is going very well. We manufacture the best quality AR-based gas platform we started out in the competition business, and we own that market. If you go to a competitive shooting event using an AR platform, we own that business. It's what we've done. What we found is that over the years, military and law enforcement would go to these events and use them as a training scenario. So they started to understand that our guns, they're more refined. We manage the recoil signature. We do everything to address the concerns to allow them to shoot more quicker, more accurately, more shots on target, which is, if my life depends on that every day, that's the kind of equipment I want to carry. So they gradually started carrying them. Department started buying them. With regards to that, we are now required to put together complete systems packages, which includes the rifle, the optic, any number of different accessories. That's the way departments want to buy these. They're not buying strip platforms. They're buying them as a complete system, including the spec ammunition. So what we need to do, I can't possess, the way you tune one of our gas rifles, it's tuned to a specific load, so we manage the recoil so it comes back on target very quickly. I need to be able to test with a suppressor, with a particular suppressor that they require. I need to be able to test that rifle, tune that rifle, and send that rifle out. I can't possess one of those in the state right now. I'm looking for an exemption to allow me to possess those for the purposes of testing. I'm not interested. I would love to sell them, but that's not a requirement for me. I can get by with just being able to test and tune my rifles and send them out with that, knowing that they have been adjusted for that particular load, that particular combination. So that's what I'm looking to accomplish by this exemption. I do have lists of requirements that we get from police and law enforcement agencies on what we have to provide, how the testing procedure is. It's very specific that it has to be done both suppressed and unsuppressed. I do have copies of those. I do produce rifles for other manufacturers, high-end manufacturers. They essentially buy my rifle at retail. We produce that for them, and I need to be able to supply those as tested. So what I'm looking for is the ability to possess a suppressor that I can test with. I'm not interested in selling them. I just need to be able to test, tune my rifle because I'm in a very competitive market. And that's what I'm asking you for. We've talked about this a bit. I am under contractual obligation. We have a contract to produce a set of rifles. I either need to do that. We rehabbed a building 2 years ago up in Hugo, Minnesota. I either need to do that. I'm either going to buy the building across my parking lot, which is a twin to my building, or I need to move that half of the operation to Wisconsin because I can legally walk in, I can buy that suppressor and test my rifles, all my issues go away. I'm from Minnesota, I live in Minnetonka, my office is in Hugo, I do not need another 15-mile commute added on to either end of that, and that's my issue. I'll let it go. I'm babbling on and on. That's kind of what I'm asking you for. I need that exemption just to be able to test it. That's it. You know what, I have one other thing to say. I'm sorry about this, but no. I'm just going to tell you, however this turns out, the people that I've worked with here, I'm not blowing any smoke at you, they return your phone calls. They return your phone calls in a timely manner. I think they actually are interested in helping me as a businessman trying to expand my business there. So however this deal shakes out, I'll just tell you, I see a couple of people here that I've had conversations with. They've been first rate. I do appreciate that. There was a comment before about, I do have the letter from our local, our sheriff, he's on board, our local county attorney on board. Again, I'm a Type 7 manufacturer. I'm not interested in changing the world. I mean, just a businessman, I need that exemption. So.
Okay, thank you, sir. Any questions from the committee members? Anybody out there wishing to testify? Good. There, Mr. Gerster. Yeah, we've got one more bill, so if you could come up and keep it short, that'd be great.
You want me to move?
That's okay. Okay. I think I can be loud enough. I'm the legislative director with the Oak Hill Gun Club, and I just want to let everybody know that we are in support of this bill. I personally am looking at this from a business perspective. We've got a major manufacturer in this state, and they're manufacturing arms for the DOD. The thing is, I just checked with them. They cannot manufacture sound suppressors or silencers for the military because of our laws. And I know I think it was the 45 caliber, the 1911s for special operations. The DOD ordered 60,000 of those, and there's no way that they could be manufactured in this state, and that's business. That's okay. It. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Gerson. Okay, members, any discussion or questions? Any closing statement, Representative Scott?
I just asked the committee members for their support so this man could stay in business and not have to go over to Wisconsin.
Thank you very much. And Chair will renew the motion for 1984 to be passed and go to the general register. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
No.
Okay. Thank you very much, Representative Scott, and your witness.
Thank you very much.
What do we got? Representative Woodard.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd like to move House File 2046 with a recommendation to pass and be placed on the general register.
Okay, Representative Woodard, how would you like to proceed? Do you want an opening statement?
Yeah, very quickly. This bill, today we allow permits for explosive and permits for firearms to go through a civil commitment data background check as part of the determination of whether or not an individual should receive a license or a permit. And a recent change to the DHS system allows for a query, an electronic query, to the civil commitment data that would allow us to look at that data for the purchase of a handgun or, I'm sorry, purchase of a firearm or for purchase of explosives. But today, the statute does not allow for that electronic access, and this is just a simple technical change that would streamline the process and allow for our local law enforcement, when they're doing a permit for explosives, to electronically access that DHS data. And, Mr. Chair, we also have with me today is Katie Engler from the BCA, who may have a few comments on this bill as well.
Okay, Representative Ward, as far as you know, this is just for an explosive. It doesn't allow Big Brother into any more information about firearms or history or... This is for an explosives background check?
Yes, Mr. Chair. In fact, it doesn't change that law at all regarding that background check under DHS. All it does is allow for the electronic access of that data as opposed to today they make phone calls, is my understanding.
State your name and go ahead, please.
Mr. Chair, members, Katie Engler from the Bureau. I think Representative Woodard has summarized the bill well. Really, this is to permit law enforcement during a background check to check on explosives permits and licenses using this electronic functionality. And with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Okay, members, any questions? Looks like a good bill. And, Representative Woodard, anybody out there testify? Ms. McClafferty, did you like to testify? State your name for the record and go ahead, ma'am.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Anna McClafferty. I'm the Criminal Justice Director at the National Alliance on Mental Illness of Minnesota, or NAMI. NAMI is a nonprofit organization whose mission is to improve the lives of children and adults living with mental illnesses and their family members through education, support, and advocacy. Nearly 100% of our board and staff are people who live with a mental illness, are family members of someone who does, or both. So civil commitment is an important issue for us. We do support this bill. We see it as a straightforward clarification to existing statute that makes sense to have in place. That's all I wanted to share with you today. If you have any other questions or you're looking for information from NAMI's perspective, I'd be happy to say more. But otherwise, thank you.
Well, Mr. Chair, there you have it. We have NAMI and the BCA on the same page here.
All right. Thank you, Ms. McLaughlin. Anybody have any questions for the witness? Representative Mullery.
Mr. Chair, I hate to ask a question of Ms. McClafferty, since I work with her so much on things, but would this in any way, and I don't know exactly how far this goes, but would it possibly at some point inhibit a family member from cooperating just in case sometime 20 years later the person might be involved in a job that would want this?
That was our first concern and why the bill attracted our attention in the first place, but it really doesn't change the substance of the law, which already requires someone to undergo a background check for an explosives permit. So since that's already in the statute, and this simply clarifies that DHS needs to communicate with law enforcement when that comes up on someone's background check for an explosive permit, they need to share that information with law enforcement.
Representative Woodard, as long as this mentions explosive, are we okay to amend the use of fireworks under this bill? bad joke.
All representatives have the ability to introduce their own bills for Chairman Cornish.
All right, any other questions from the committee or outside? If not, you want to renew your motion, Representative Woodard?
Thank you, Chairman. I renew my motion to pass House File 2046 and have it placed on the General Register.
Okay, you've heard the motion. Any discussion? None. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you, Representative. Thank you. Next meeting is Tuesday, February 14th, Valentine's Day. So, Representative Mueller, you better bring flowers. Meeting adjourned.